Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
The United States Supreme Court is moving in a different direction because now there is at least a 5-4 majority in most of these cases that will adhere to the Constitution and the rule of law. With the nomination and confirmation of now Justice Brett Kavanaugh, we will see a significant impact long-term on the high court. We're going to be talking about it on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Matt Barber, the founder of BarbedWire.com, and Holly Mead, the director of communications for Liberty Counsel. Matt, we talked about Judge, now Justice, Brett Kavanaugh's judicial philosophy as he was nominated through the nomination process. This battle was so intense because of his judicial philosophy, and that judicial philosophy is one that a judge should interpret the law, not make the law, and that a judge is bound by the words of the statutes and the words of the Constitution as informed by our history and tradition, and certainly to be bound by the parameters that a judge interprets, not makes the law. And that really is the whole reason why there was so much opposition against him, because there are people, and there's obviously a lot of them, certainly a lot of people on that Senate Judiciary Committee that are on the Democratic side of the aisle, and the organizations and people that they stir up that want a judge to make the law, that they want a judge to make the law with regards to abortion or same-sex marriage and so forth. And that's why this whole battle was so intense.
But he's a judge who's committed to doing, to fulfilling the job description, and that is interpreting the law, right?
Right.
Yeah, and there's a lot of talk, will he vote to overturn Roe v. Wade? And that's what this was all about from the very beginning. It was about abortion. It was about the left's, what they view as some phantom constitutional right to kill babies. And even pro-life people were concerned by some of Judge Kavanaugh's comments while on the D.C. Court of Appeals, while actually going through that confirmation hearing, where he basically acknowledged, well, yeah, Roe v. Wade is a precedent, but he said the high court views it as a right to abortion. And he kind of pointed out on the Court of Appeals, I have no choice but to uphold that view in my rulings because the Superior Court, the Supreme Court, has precedent. What people who are pro-life need to understand is that a Supreme Court justice, that's where he has the opportunity to actually be an originalist and rule on the actual intent of the founders and the language of the law, and potentially, I believe, to overturn Roe v. Wade.
We can actually see that happen.
And in fact, the deal is that the lower court judges on the Federal Court of Appeals, which is where he was, the D.C. Court of Appeals in Washington, D.C., they're bound to follow the United States Supreme Court decisions. Mm-hmm. And if they don't, what happens is the case gets appealed in the United States Supreme Court. If they take the case, we'll overturn them. So here's an example of a case out of the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals that sits in Atlanta that governs Florida, Georgia, and Alabama. An Alabama abortion law was before the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals with three judges taking the case and reviewing it. It was a law that prohibited dismemberment abortion, or D&E, dilation and evacuation. And in that particular statute, the lower court judge said it was inconsistent with and unconstitutional, therefore under the Supreme Court's precedents, got appealed. And the three judges said that the United States Supreme Court has created in the area of abortion a, quote, aberration of constitutional law. Now, they took the moment in the first paragraph to criticize the United States Supreme Court by skewing the constitutional law by the issue of abortion, creating an aberration that's completely outside of any other aspect of constitutional law. That abortion, the topic of abortion, has created an aberration of constitutional law. They don't like it. Obviously, they don't want to apply or be part of an aberration of any law, let alone constitutional law. But they also said, we're not the Supreme Court, so we cannot change it. We are required to follow the Supreme Court's aberration of constitutional law.
Right.
We don't like it, but we don't have any ability but to do that. because we're bound to follow what the Supreme Court has already ruled. And consequently, they struck down that law, and they, in the process, showed how brutal that law is. They went into detail about how brutal partial birth abortion, or I should say dismemberment abortion, is, where you rip and tear body parts. So they were very forthright, but they're also saying, we don't have a choice. So when Brett Kavanaugh or any other appellate judge or lower court judge says that, yes, this is Supreme Court precedent and they're bound to follow it, that's what they have to do. Otherwise, they'll get overturned. But his judicial hero, Kavanaugh's, is Rehnquist. And what did Rehnquist do on the Supreme Court? And why did he like him as a judicial hero? For two reasons. One, because Rehnquist wanted to get the court back to interpreting the law, not making the law, not having the court become an activist, but a court that actually is adhering to the words and understanding of the Constitution. And two, Rehnquist was willing to overturn bad precedent in order to get the court back to where it's supposed to be. And you can't have that person as your hero, one that wants to restrain the court and willing to overturn bad precedent in order to restrain the court. You can't have that person as a hero without also thinking the same way.
And as you know, Matt, Liberty Counsel pretty much broke the story, and then the mainstream media picked up on it. A speech that Judge Kavanaugh delivered last year at the American Enterprise Institute talking about exactly that, about how Rehnquist was, quote, his first judicial hero. He said Rehnquist's dissenting opinion in Roe stated that under the court's precedence, any such unenumerated right, so-called, you know, to abortion, had to be rooted in the traditions and conscience of our people. He said, given the prevalence of abortion regulations, both historically and at the time, Rehnquist said he could not reach such a conclusion about abortion. He said he was not successful in convincing a majority of justices in the context of abortion, either in Roe itself or in the later cases such as Casey. In the latter case, perhaps because of stare decisis, he said, but what he was successful in stemming the general tide of freewheeling judicial creation of unenumerated rights that were not rooted in the nation's history and tradition. And if that doesn't signal to me where he'll come down on Roe, nothing does. And I think Justice Kavanaugh is a vote to overturn Roe.
I do too. And I think, you know, he looked at Rehnquist in 73, in 92, and in 97. And Rehnquist was consistent all the way through. Two of those cases were abortion. One was a so-called right to die case that was based upon the precedent established in the abortion decisions. In 73, Rehnquist asked two questions. Is abortion an enumerated right? No, it's not enumerated in the Constitution like, say, for example, freedom of religion, freedom of speech, freedom of assembly. That's in the actual text of the Constitution. Abortion is not. The next question is it deeply rooted in our history and traditions that it would be protected under the Constitution? The answer is no, because there had been a history of laws against abortion. Therefore, there's no right to abortion. He was dissenting in the 7-2 decision in 73. Then you come to 1992. He was originally, after the argument, in the majority, 5-4, to strike down Roe versus Wade. And then Kennedy, the one who Kavanaugh has now replaced, switched his vote, and it became 5-4 the opposite way. But his view now became part of that dissent, and he said the same thing. It's not enumerated. It's not part of our deeply held history. Then you come to 97. People thought, well, based upon the Supreme Court precedent in the abortion cases, the Supreme Court will now say there's a right to die. Rehnquist wrote the majority opinion. No, there's not. 5-4, his philosophy prevailed. It's not enumerated. It's not deeply rooted in our history. And he was consistent. And so that is the hero, the judicial hero, of now Justice Kavanaugh. I think that when he gets the opportunity, he ultimately will ask those same questions, and the conclusion is obvious, and thus the reason why there was so much opposition. Thank you for standing with us at Liberty Counsel. Thank you for joining us in prayer. We were very involved all around the country, but certainly in the nation's capital, praying for, with, and being involved in this confirmation process. But now the battle continues. We have to continue this fight. throughout the judiciary and in our laws and policy. Stand with us. Go to Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org. That's lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org. You can also call us at 407-875-1776. Again, that phone number, 407-875-1776. Become an active partner of Liberty Counsel and make a difference in your community and across the nation. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org. Call us at 407-875-1776. The website again, lc.org.